In this lesson, you will discover some of the best marriage advice you will ever stumble into for modern marriages, traditional marriage in modern age, and for newlyweds. This is going to present a completely new perspective for you. But first, please do me three favors. One, smash that like button until it turns blue in the face to tell the algorithm that this video is live. Two, don't forget to subscribe and turn on the notifications to get alert when we release these videos. Three, tell us in the comment area what topic you would like us to cover in the next video. My name is Ola and I am the co-author of the book Get My Marriage Back with my wife Lola, which you can download for free at www.getmymarriageback.com. You will also see an opportunity to book a free 30-minute coaching session with us. The other day, I was watching a video by one of the Black Manosphere leaders, O'Shea Duke Jackson, interviewing a guy. He claims that the root cause of his divorce was when his wife started listening to Amanda Seales. While I agreed that the trigger to the divorce could have been random media platform rhetorics, I disagree that this is the root cause. The root cause is always a function of both parties involved. Marriage is an institution, and it remains exactly that even as the human species continues to evolve over time. Fortunately or unfortunately, the humans in a marriage control what they make of a marriage and therefore cannot blame the institution of marriage when it is bad. It is also not wise to blame any entity outside of the individuals. Yes, I said it's a function of the parties involved, but blame, guilt, condemnation, and judgment will always work against the underlying relationship of a marriage. With that being said, these are the five best pieces of advice I can share with any marriage at any stage, including newlyweds in the modern age. Marriage advice number five. Your vows meant nothing. People will say I do simply do not know what they're doing. I know that may sound heartbreaking to you, but it is the truth. What they were doing, for the most part, is the wedding ceremony, and that's regardless of how much premarital counseling they may have gone through. The issue isn't that the parties were pretending, it's simply that they couldn't possibly have enough context to comprehend what they are getting into. Marriage vows are beautiful, and you may have put on a great show for the guests. The real test starts on the day after, and most people we now know will not honor the vows 100% of the time. It's obvious with the divorce rate in virtually every society today. So do not set yourself up with expectations around your vows or the present state of your spouse. On the flip side of that, it is not unwise to hold yourself accountable to the vows you took, as it is simply the honorable thing to do. But do not assume that you can pour from an empty cup, as you're not God. It's going to be a constant effort of building yourself. Marriage advice number four. Communication is not the key. I know that may come as a shock to you, but here's why. What most people refer to as communication is the act of talking. Not only is that not the dictionary meaning of communication, effective communication is the actual key. The dictionary meaning of communication is the exchange of information. Sure, in telecommunication as a technology, either sending or receiving individually counts as communication, but in romance it is not. Effective communication in romance is 80% listening, 10% confirmation of understanding, and 10% of sharing of your personal insight and opinion. This is essentially true if you identify as the masculine core, not necessarily the man, presently in the marriage. It is your responsibility to set the tone for effective communication between you and your spouse. Marriage number three, engage God and or gratitude. One of the false messages out there that's killing a lot of marriages before they start is the idea that love is not enough. I will talk to you if you don't identify as a Christian in a minute, but if you are a Christian, you should never join the love is not enough gang. As a Christian, you should have subscribed to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verses 4 to 8. 4. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. If you haven't seen this played out or tracked in your marriage on your part, you have no right to claim that love is not enough. However, as humans, patience has a threshold. So you need to humble yourself and tap into additional patience by putting God, aka the only source of unconditional love, at the center of your marriage. If you do not identify as a Christian, I am simply talking about an attitude of gratitude all around. When you look at things from a lens of it can always be worse, you will create and have better and better experiences in your marriage. This is the closest you can get to unconditional love, which is a necessary ingredient in creating an awesome marriage. Marriage advice number 2, personal purpose. Infinite patience is a necessary ingredient to make a good marriage because your core beliefs will be tested by the differences between you and your spouse. Now, waiting around and calling it patience will eat you up because you as a human being are simply incapable of that level of patience. But with your engagement in personal purpose and life mission, which should be bigger than life itself, you will expend some of your time in that space. Then you leave some room for love, attraction, and sexual polarity to stay high within your marriage. While a spouse who claims to love can dump you, a spouse who is attracted to you will not dump you. Marriage advice number 1, self-love. You cannot give what you don't have. You have to make it a priority to make sure that you're good and full of love as an individual. When you love yourself, it will create a downstream effect of loving your spouse from a space of abundance, which is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8 that I quoted earlier. When you attempt loving from a place of lack, it creates chaos. Here's a bonus piece of advice. In marriage, remember the scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Emotional intelligence will go a long way when it is present in your marriage. It's not the same as emotional expressions. So tell me in the comment area which of these 5 pieces of advice you find most valuable and will be applying so we can see about diving a little deeper. Don't forget to download your free book, Get My Marriage Back, at www.getmymarriageback.com. Also check out 30 minutes free coaching and discovery session that we will give you access to right after the download. Hit the like button and check out the video on the screen for more information on how to rekindle and build an awesome marriage and legacy without being a simp or a pick me.